Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit cropmetcalf.com. You can join their team today. Rejoining our team today, happy to see him back. JP Flame in the mix with us.
Mm-hmm. Pickle taking a dump, apparently. Hey, real quick, I know we're going to get into whether or not Washington's going to trade up, but this is how smart my dog is. I'm sure, Drabby, you can probably relate to this. So, smart and spoiled. Okay, my dog is very spoiled. So we sometimes give her an egg, a raw egg, and we mix it into her food. Okay?
Why? Is that good?
She loves it. She just loves eggs. And sometimes
she loves
raw eggs.
She's like Sylvester Stallone.
Yes, so mix the yolk into the food, and she just crushes it. Well, now she's to the point where when we just put the food in without the egg, she just looks at it and then looks at me and then starts to bark.
Mm-hmm.
Telling me this is not what I want. I want the egg in the food. So I just let her in, and she went right to her food, which was full without the egg, and she starts barking and looking at me. She's waiting for me to go to the fridge and get an egg and put the egg in. Unbelievable. I can't tell you how many eggs we go through.
Well, I mean, you set the precedent now. She manipulates you.
100%. 100% manipulates.
See, there she's barking for that egg. She wants it right now.
Hey, you know what? If she gets hungry enough, she'll eat it.
True. I'm just saying, for me, it's worth it just to give it to her so she stops barking like she is right now. Anyway, sorry.
It's all good.
Put it on the list, Eric. Another reason not to get a dog.
You can go through a ton of eggs.
Do you agree with me or disagree? Drab, you're Mr. Dog Owner.
No, I love dogs, but they're a pain in the ass. I mean, you're not cut out for it.
Is Luca going to start asking for, like, eggs sunny side up?
Probably.
Give specific instructions.
Well, if it's our
fault.
Bark
instructions.
It's our fault. We gave it to her. We give her table scraps. We give her bacon bits. We give her little pieces of sausage, eggs, you know, whatever. We give it to her. Chicken.
But it would never occur to me that.
Chicken?
It would never occur to me that putting a raw egg in something would actually enhance the flavor.
They love it. I don't know.
Who knows if it enhances the flavor, EB? It's a dog.
So you think it's just like a Pavlovian thing? Like the dog is
just
pretty? No.
It just tastes good to them.
It tastes better.
Yeah, I can't imagine that. A raw egg is gross.
Well, go ahead and eat dog food. Tell me if you like that.
Well, I've never tried that.
Yeah, but they're an animal.
Haven't you tried that?
Me?
Jason? Yeah.
Dog food?
Yes. Like to see what your dog is eating? I know Drab
no,
has.
No, I've never done that.
Drab?
I've never eaten the kibble, but I've eaten dog treats.
Right? And what do you think?
Multiple dog treats.
Well, one time we did dog treats of the round table on Big O and Duke's.
So we had to go around and taste them.
Everybody ate dog food or dog treats.
Yeah, I couldn't do that.
Some of them are pretty good.
Some are pretty solid. Good offerings.
But egg on they love that egg on the dry dog food.
Oh,
it makes
it
a lot easier to eat, I think.
They could just crush it. Right. She just pummeled the entire bowl. I just checked.
All right, anyway. Kix, what is the Washington story here that we're the angle that we're looking at here? If we were
this
to trade
is from
up,
our friend Pete Haley, who's going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour. I believe he's scheduled at 9:20 today. One of his articles on NBCSports.com is who might the Washington football team trade up with where they don't have to get up to number four to get potentially their quarterback of the future.
Can we all agree that they would only trade up to get a quarterback? They're not looking to trade up for any other position. You really only trade up, I mean, I guess if you liked Kyle Pitts that much.
I would agree with that.
I would think that if you're only gonna trade up, you're going to get a quarterback.
Did you see the stat? I'm not sure who tweeted it yesterday, but it was making the rounds. And it is interesting that of quarterback, because we're looking at the first three spots being quarterbacks, right?
First time since 1999.
Of quarterbacks that have been picked first, second, or third, I believe the last 50 of them, it was either the last 50 or the last 44, two of them have won Super Bowls. Two of them.
With their original
one,
team.
One, two, or three.
I think it was with their original team. It was Aikman and Peyton Manning.
Correct. But, like, just think of other guys.
Because Eli Manning won a Super Bowl. Well, Eli should be in there too, right? But was he not a number one pick?
Yeah, he was.
I can't remember where he was.
He was the top pick.
But maybe it's because he was with a different team.
He refused to go to, what was it, San Diego?
San Diego.
Yeah, but maybe that's because he was with a different team. That is a caveat then. But still, interesting. You know? So I personally do not buy this idea that Washington is in the business of moving up for quarterback. I just don't see it.
I think
you have to give up a lot. So would you do it? We just put up a poll. The Junkies poll today brought to you by Van Meter Homes. Would you do it? And at least right now, early on in the voting, 77% were no against trading up. Because if you trade up, you're going to have to trade picks, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Of course.
And potentially a player or two to move up. I mean, the spots that Pete highlights here in the article are the Lions at 7, the Carolina Panthers at 8, and the L.A. Chargers at 13. Which all makes sense because they all have their quarterback issues seemingly solved for the time being. The Lions trading for Goff, Darnold now in Charlotte, and Justin Herbert with what he did as a rookie in L.A.
Right. I don't think.
But who are you getting at 7? Let's say you trade up for 7. Are you hoping that Trey Lance falls or Mac Jones? I'm not. You know, there's a lot of people debating whether Kyle Shanahan legitimately wants Mac Jones. You know, that's been the rumors that they want Mac Jones at 3, but why would they trade up to 3 for
Mac
Jones?
If I'm Marty Meatballs and the other Marty and I'm Ron, I'm not doing this until draft day. Right. I'm not doing it until the draft starts unfolding and I see who's falling. And if the guy that I'm in love with is still there, I'm going to make my move that day.
JP,
I'm not
going to
do it 3 weeks out.
We don't know. The media doesn't know. That's just the rumor that he really likes Mac Jones. So if you look at these mock drafts, now mock drafts change every day, but a lot of them have San Francisco trading they already traded to 3, taking Mac Jones. And they traded a lot. They gave 2 extra first-round picks to get to that spot. They really want a quarterback, whether or not it's Jones or Lance or Fields, we don't know. We'll find out in a couple weeks. But if you trade up to 13, I don't think you're getting any of those quarterbacks. I think those other 2 quarterbacks outside of Jones will be gone before 13. I think you're going to have to trade
up. What does your gut tell you, you're a Niners guy, that the Niners are going to do at 3? Yesterday, I was trying to catch up to things. I saw, I think it was Bomani Jones tweeted, that they've compared Mac Jones to Kirk Cousins, and Shanahan loved Kirk Cousins. But he spent a number 3 pick on Kirk Cousins. He was drafted in the 4th round.
I mean,
yeah, but he's outperformed being a 4th-round draft pick.
Understood,
obviously.
But the point is, do you trade up? I mean,
I don't know.
Before all this started, a couple months ago, Mac Jones was considered a late first-rounder or a second-round pick. Are the Niners going to draft him number 3 overall?
Right. I mean, like 2 months ago, he was getting mocked to Washington at the 19 pick. And now talk is he could potentially go number 3.
Okay, but that doesn't
doesn't mean it's going to happen.
The media doesn't know anything. So if the media says, oh, we think Mac Jones is a late first-round pick, they don't know what the NFL head coaches and offensive coordinators know. They don't know what they're looking for. So just because the media said, yeah, he's a 19 to a 25, that doesn't really tell me anything because Kyle Shanahan knows more about football than all those guys combined. So if he really likes Mac Jones for whatever reason, I could see it happening. Maybe it's not him. Maybe it's Trey Lance. We just don't know.
Just because he's a Shanahan doesn't mean he's not going to botch it and like fall in love with somebody that he shouldn't fall in love with. I mean,
I'm not saying
we were sold a bill of goods years ago by his dad that John Beck was going to be a competent quarterback.
Well,
I'm not saying every first-round pick hits. I'm just saying when you compare it to the mock drafts, you can't put too much stock in that.
Well, I'll say this.
Because it's not like the media members that are doing the mock drafts are calling the coaches going, all right, who do you like?
Right. Well, my opinion would be Washington should stand pat. I'm with the 77% at Junks Radio on the Twitter poll because you know, they brought in Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'm not saying he's great. They have Taylor Heinicke. They still got Kyle Allen. I'm not really for trading up for a quarterback this year. Next year, get your quarterback.
Well, you don't know who's available. You can't. That's hard to do. You can't go, and this is what I argue with Bickle about. We'll wait until next year. Well, there might not be anybody available next year. Yeah.
No, you're right. But
so if you really like one this year, then you might have to
How could you really like any of these guys? They're friggin' question marks.
You and I don't know anything.
Huh?
They know what they're looking for. We don't.
Okay. I'm telling you, I'll be stunned if they move up to take
one. I'm not saying they're going to take one. I'm just saying it's a possibility.
I wouldn't be stunned if they move up if a guy that they love.
Who could they possibly love?
Trey Lance.
Why?
Why couldn't they love Fields?
Here's part of the reason why they could love him. Ron Rivera had a lot of success with a guy who was looked at as mainly a run-first quarterback when he came into the league in Cam Newton. Mm-hmm. And if you can harness that with Trey Lance, and I understand he's raw and doesn't have a lot of experience on the college level, but if you can harness that and you can develop it, I think that could be what Coach Rivera is looking at.
So let's say this could be my seven or eight cakes. Would you give up next year's first round pick and a player to move up to grab Lance at number 7 or 8?
If I love him, yes. If I'm meh on him, absolutely not. I have to love him. I have to love the player to make that move.
The love should be tied to sort of where you have him evaluated. So you might not love him in the first round, but if you saw him in the second round, then you might love him, right? The value. I think it has to be tied to that.
He's going
to
be gone.
Yeah, because they're just throwing it against the wall.
There's a bunch of starved quarterback needing teams. You know, there's five or six of them right now we can just name, and I wouldn't be surprised if any of them jump up to five, six, seven.
I've been so hard on him, he'll probably be Pat friggin' Mahomes when he comes into the league. But I don't know. I just think he's a huge question mark, and I don't know. I think their roster right now is set. Now, I had the same argument with Keim last week, and he thinks they can easily get rid of some of those backups like a Kyle Allen and replace him with a draft pick. And he's right. There's no contractual penalty, really, if they cut a guy like Kyle Allen. And then his point is, you know, we saw it a million times with Jay Gruden and Colt McCoy. That he loved Colt, but at every opportunity where he had to play someone else, he played someone else. So it could be a similar situation with Washington and Kyle Allen. They like him.
What would happen?
But they're not desperate to play him.
What would happen if the Falcons at 4, or a bunch of teams, maybe they're calling them saying, hey, we really want to get up there. What if they say, no, we're not trading it. We're going to take Justin Fields. And Justin Fields will sit there for a year or two behind Matt Ryan. Now, Matt Ryan probably has a lot of probably has at least two or three more years based on the fact that he's sturdy, he never misses games, and he still produces. But what happens if they take Fields? He sits behind Ryan for a couple of years, and he's the future. Then you only have one quarterback available that everyone really loves. And there's going to be a frenzy to try and get up to that spot to get him.
Let's hear from the listeners on the Gambit DC listener lines. Bet, play, win with Gambit DC, brought to you by the DC Lottery. 800-636-1067. If you're the Washington football team and your guy starts slipping, do you trade into the top 10 to get your guy in this upcoming NFL draft? We'll take your calls on that next here on 106.7 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
In his latest two-round mock on CBSSports.com, Ryan Wilson, former Junk's guest, has the Washington football team trading into the top 10 with the Carolina Panthers to select Trey Lance at number 8. Will that happen in real life in just a few short weeks? 800-636-1067 is the number, the Gambit DC listener lines.
You know how big of a story that would be locally?
It'd be pretty massive. It's a big bet on your future signal caller.
It would put Bickle in a tough spot. It really would. Because being right on the show is priority number one for
most of us. Right.
And I understand Bickle is a huge fan of the team, but he's been killing Lance, and he says he's not worth that, and he's a hack. But he would be the quarterback of your team, so you'd have to kind of pull for him.
No, of course, and it would be great for the show because nothing generates excitement like a first-round quarterback.
Yeah.
Nothing. So, I mean, it'd be great for the show, and maybe, I'm telling you, he might be Pat Mahomes. Who knows? What I've seen is he's butt raw.
Yeah.
So I.
But
you
do want to be able to say, I told you so.
Well, I'm already not going to be able to say that because I would draft him in, like, the fifth round. And
yeah,
he's
but Jason,
go in the top five.
Jason, I think you're overstating that. Because, yes, we generally want to be right, but we'd rather be wrong if it means there's going to be success for the team. We were happy we were wrong when we counted out the Capitals when they won the Stanley Cup.
I get it.
We were happy we were wrong when we counted out the Nationals when they were 19-31.
We were.
So if Trey Lance became a superstar, I think EB would be happy with eating it. And we could always say, you were wrong, but he'd be happy if the Washington football team all of a sudden became really good because they had a franchise quarterback.
Maybe. I guess I would rather be right.
But you'd rather be right?
Being right is very important.
I just think that
I'm already wrong on Lance because everyone wants to roll the dice on him and take him high. Take him like in the top 10. Right. I don't think he's worthy of that. But
all right, let's see what some of the listeners think. Should the team trade up for a quarterback?
Yeah, I just don't see it. All right, let's go to, let me see. Let's go to line one. Let's go to Jared in Laytonville. Hey, Jared, what's up, man? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, boys. Thanks for taking my call. So I'm going to agree. I think it was Mr. Auville that said, I wouldn't do anything until draft night. And I think that's exactly the way to go because I think the wild card is the Falcons. If they don't take a quarterback there, a quarterback's going to fall. And you're looking at, the way I see it, you're looking at three teams that could potentially move up. You're looking at the Raiders, you're looking at the Saints, and you're looking at the Bears. The Raiders are the only ones that are ahead of Washington, so it'll be interesting to see what happens on draft night. I'd also like to know, in the history of these rumors, how many actually come true? It seems like every year, 2 or 3 weeks ahead of it, these rumors come true, these rumors are thrown out there, and how many actually come true?
Right.
Don't know.
Thanks for the call, Jared. We appreciate
By the way, I would put the Pats in there, too, even though the Pats are already ahead of Washington. I wouldn't be shocked at all if they moved up from 15 to 4.
Wouldn't be surprising.
6, 7, wherever. Right.
If I'm Arthur Smith, by the way, and I'm the new head coach in Atlanta, the last thing that I want to deal with is drafting a guy at 4 and sitting him behind Matt Ryan. And then if Matt Ryan has a bad game or two, then everybody's just calling for you to put in Justin Fields or whoever you just picked at number four. Like I am selling that pick to whoever wants to come up to number four and to overdraft a quarterback.
Look, I'm not
business
saying that's
is wide
happen.
Open.
I'm not saying it's going to happen. He's got a lot of tread left in his tires. I think the Falcons would be fine for 3 or 4 years with Matt Ryan. I'm just saying it's a possibility.
Right. I mean, it could happen.
And they take their guy of the future, especially a hometown kid like Fields. But we'll see.
All right, let's go to Jeff on line three in Arlington. Hey, Jeff, what's up, man? You're on with the Junkies.
What's up, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Welcome back. I hope you and your family are feeling better.
Thank you.
I'm just of the opinion that none of these guys are worthy of even the 19th pick. But if, you know, they were to slip somehow, some way, and the team was to take them in 19, I wouldn't be apoplectic about it. I mean, it's just, you know, you throw up your hands, you cross your fingers, and you hope for the best. But to mortgage your for, you know, someone that is such a question mark, and I agree with EB, all of these guys are significant question marks except for Lawrence. And whether that's because of the bad tape in the case of Fields inexplicably in some of these games, whether it's the level of competition, you know, obviously with Lance and with others, whether it's, you know, the fact that it's only a one-year sample size, again, with Lance, with Wilson, there, you know, Jones, whether it's the competition he's, you know, facing or the talent he's surrounded with and then his athleticism or the lack thereof. Again, I mean, if it's one pick, I can live with it. But investing two or three first rounders to get up to where you would need to take that chance on that wild card, I just, you know, I can't see mortgaging our future and then setting ourselves back the same way we did with others.
But what if he ends up being a Josh Allen type? That's the thing. Look, I'm not necessarily for it. I'm kind of with the 75% on the Junks radio poll that are against moving up. But if you believe in a guy, and let's say Trey Lance is the guy, and you believe he can develop like a Josh Allen, well, then it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right.
Right. You just have to buckle up and realize it may take two or three seasons for that to happen.
But I think
it's not going to be overnight.
But it's pretty obvious, right?
That it's rarely overnight.
It's a very inexact science, drafting quarterbacks. Probably the most difficult position to draft in, I don't know, maybe any sport. I don't know. Baseball's pretty hit or miss.
Yeah.
But like in football, I think it's by far the hardest position to draft. They don't, you know, there are rare birds, right? You knew for the most part, even though we had our insane debate, Ryan Leaf, Peyton Manning, you knew Peyton was going to hit. I think everyone was pretty unanimous that Andrew Luck was going to hit, and they did. But for the most part, a lot of these guys, I mean, the league wasn't sold on Pat Mahomes. They weren't sold
True.
On him when he was drafted.
True, but if you just look at like last year's draft, and we don't know what's going to happen with Tua. He hasn't played enough. But
some have given
Joe
up
Burrow on. Looks legit, right? When he's healthy, Burrow looks legit. He was the number one pick. And then Herbert was drafted number six. I mean,
and
it's hard to say.
People were not sold on him.
I understand that, but he's legit. So it's worth it.
He is, but it's a fluke. It's just fluky. You just
I don't know if it's a fluke. The Chargers drafted him number six overall.
They rolled the dice.
They obviously thought highly of him.
They reached.
Right, but
most
there are
minds.
Other teams. Just look at other six picks at quarterback. I mean, it's not like every pick in the top six hits. That's
no,
what Eric's saying.
Of course not.
It's a total crapshoot. It's
I mean,
the hardest position in the sport to select, in my opinion.
I mean, Sam Darnold was the third pick. He's already on his second team.
Yeah.
All right. He's a reclamation project already.
Yeah. All right. Let's go
to.
Got to
be
see.
Right.
Let's go to Josh, line four, Christiansburg. Where's that, Christiansburg?
That is in Virginia.
It's
I believe.
Blacksburg. It's basically Blacksburg.
Blacksburg. It's, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Josh,
to
what's
be
up,
on
buddy?
In Christiansburg.
I've been there a billion times. I
we
love
were
it.
On an affiliate years ago on Westwood One in Christiansburg.
Okay, didn't know that. Hey, what's up, man?
Only guy I think worthy of the first round pick is Lawrence. Everybody else has got too many question marks in the last 3 or 4 years. Would have 20 quarterbacks been taken? Would have like four any good? You know, and the only and you can't say anything that Burrow is one of those four because he couldn't even get out of the first year without getting hurt. You don't know that's not going to be a career problem. I don't see any reason to trade up for any of these guys because quarterback position has been overvalued. It's been way inflated, these guys' abilities coming out. Everybody's looking at Mac Jones like he's some kind of great prop quarterback prospect. But he looks average to me. He just played at Alabama and won a lot of games. Same with Justin Fields. So I don't see any reason to trade up at all. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
All right, man.
I mean, he may be proven right. I think he's overstating, though, the lack of success from top picks. Because I'm looking at the 2019 draft. I mean, Kyler Murray was number one. Is he a star yet? Maybe not, but
he's
flashes at times.
He's close.
He flashes. Yeah,
you know, and then you have that's the Josh Allen draft, number seven. Oh, no.
Josh Allen was the year before.
Sorry.
Yeah.
That was the Daniel Jones, who I'm kind of high on for some odd reason.
Big year for him.
Again, flashes. You know, has had some really bad games, but has great games when he's a good runner. For the guys who were drafted in the last two or three years, you still got to give them time. You know, you still got to give even Baker Mayfield time. I know he finally made the playoffs, but, you know, three-year career is still very short. Now, the guys before that, you know, the Trubisky's and Mahomes and Goff and all those guys, you kind of know. Carson Wentz.
You know who can play and who can't. I mean, Trubisky's a backup at this point. He's backing up Josh Allen in Buffalo.
Right.
That's how far his star has fallen.
Second pick in the draft. He's a backup.
I know. It's crazy.
All right, let's go. Let me see. Let's go. Somebody in Richmond. Let's go to Mark in Richmond, line one. Hey, Mark, what's up, man?
He just dropped off.
Let's go to-
by the way, the reason I got confused on Josh Allen, and I did not realize this, if you look at the 2018 draft where Josh Allen was drafted at quarterback.
I know what you're going to say.
And the 2019 draft with the exact same number pick, number seven, it was another guy named Josh Allen.
Right. He's like a defensive end out of Kentucky, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Legit.
So weird.
All right. Is Rick there? Line two. Calling from North Carolina. Hey, Rick, what's up, man? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, Rick,
what's up?
I'm doing good. With the trade possibility, I think Washington's going to stay at 19 now. If anything, if they're going to trade, I think they might trade back to try to get more picks because usually at 19, you're probably getting, a low first rounder or maybe a second round grade player.
Rick, you got to turn down your radio or your TV. You're just killing us. We love you calling from North Carolina, but
that's killing us. Is that better?
Thank you.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. So the second round tier of quarterbacks, I guess it would be Trask and Mond. With Kellen Mond, now, if we drafted Kellen Mond and his upside was Dak Prescott, would you be satisfied?
Well, of course you would if he develops into Dak Prescott.
But how do you know that?
I'm just saying, but people still, you know, they still have their doubts about Dak Prescott. I mean, really, I mean, I know he got paid, but still there's you know, people think, you know, he has the talent around him to make him a good quarterback.
Rick, though, he's the exception. More often than not, a guy who's drafted like that turns into, you know, Will Greer, great college quarterback, right?
Oh, boy, Will Greer. You know, when Will Greer came out of West Virginia, I was hoping the Redskins would pitch him, but look what happened to him. He's here in Carolina. I think he's still on the team. But they'll stay at 19. If something happens on draft night, you know, they'll go. But like you said, these quarterbacks, man, like you said, Trubisky, number two, he's a backup. I mean, I don't think the 49ers are going to take Mac Jones. They're going to either take Lance or – it's more than likely it'll be Justin Fields. I don't believe they gave up all that draft capital to draft Mac Jones.
I'm kind of with you on that. I find it hard to believe they're going to give up multiple picks to move up to three.
You might be right.
To draft
him. I was just watching ESPN. Now Mel Kiper, his draft board, he has New England trading up to number 10 with Dallas to take Justin Fields at 10.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you know, Dallas, Philadelphia, and Giants are not going to deal with Washington because they're in the same division. So that one might make sense if he starts to fall, you know, go from 15 to 10, they might take Fields. But I just think we have too many other needs to give up too much draft capital, man. It's just, you know, it'll just roll with Fitzpatrick. And, like, next year, I mean, who knows? I mean, even – Rodgers or Wilson, those guys may become available next year. I mean, you never know what's going to happen. The whole Deshaun Watson thing, you know, he might not even play this year, but, you know, he might be in the mix again next year. So, you know, they'll just ride it out with Fitzpatrick and Allen and Heineken and go from there.
You might be right.
All right, thank you, Rick. I would find it hard to believe that Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson become available, but if they are, you should be in on them. Those are guys you'd be interested in.
Did you guys see There was this, I didn't even click on it because I'm just, you know, there's so much clickbait out there, but there was some clickbait story about Aaron Rodgers and maybe like New Orleans or Carolina. Did you guys see that over the last week or so?
I didn't see that, but I saw more details on Deshaun Watson.
Mm.
What is the more recent details that you saw, JP?
Well, just the level of his hustle.
Which is?
That he was bringing in women, and he would actually, I think they have text conversations where he said he wanted them to dress like an IG model. And some of them didn't even have equipment, and he would get the equipment from the Texans. Like, he would get their massage tables to set it up and then fly in a woman from out of state.
J.J. Watt's looking around like, where's my massage table? Where'd it go? How about they do my back worked on
like,
today?
It sounded like he was setting up dates is what it really sounded like. Yeah. You know?
It seems like it was an addiction for him.
Maybe.
Because there's so many of them, and who knows what went down with each girl. But it just seemed like an addiction because, you know, there were 20 or 30 girls that came out and defended him.
And his defense now has turned to consensual, right?
Yes. That some of them, nobody did anything against their will. That's what his lawyer said. You know, that some of the interactions did, you know, something did occur sexual with some of them, but that they were all consensual.
He could be entirely innocent, but what I always come back to is, if you were legitimately in need of a masseuse and it was COVID and you didn't have somebody at the team facility, well, let's say you flew in the first person. Wouldn't you just use the same masseuse over and over again if she does a good job?
He liked strange, JP.
I know.
He liked the strange masseuses.
I think he would use her.
It was his perverse way of dating, I think.
If she did what you wanted, what he wanted her to do.
Yeah.
If it was just for a massage, you know, loosen up the shoulders, or that's one thing. Yeah. But to do everything else and
he
she didn't do it, then you're
girls
calling
back.
Another girl in.
If they just gave him a straight massage, they weren't getting a return
ticket. It wasn't shoulders, dude. He was doing face-up massages.
Yeah, he was doing a lot of hip thrusting.
You're not understanding my point. You're not listening.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
I get it.
All right,
we'll get back into the Washington football team in the 9 o'clock hour. Pete Haley from NBC Sports Washington joins us at 9:20. But when we come back, big day with the Washington Capitals yesterday as the trade deadline came and went. They've got some new faces on the squad. We'll talk to Lars Eller about that next here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Get the BetQL app already, the app to outsmart Vegas, powerful analytics for sports betting, get access to real-time line movement, and more. BetQL. And joining us right now is our pal Lars Ellert. Center Ice with Lars Ellert, presented by FH for Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. Absolutely the best. Good morning, Lars. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm great. How are you doing?
We are doing well. You had quite the night a couple nights ago against the Boston Bruins. Not one, two goals. Your first goal, I thought, was just a thing of beauty from Carl Hagelin. Gave you the assist on the first goal. You just completely undressed the Boston defender. I loved every second of it. Take us through both goals, and when was your last two-goal game before your outburst against the Bruins, if you can remember?
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I scored two in one game. It must have been a while ago. It feels good to be back at full strength after all these, injuries have been bugging me for a while and holding me back. So, excited to be back at full strength, and feels good to get on the board and contribute to a huge win for us up there. So that felt great.
Do you want to brag a little bit about your first one that Cakes was raving about the next day?
It was really nice. Come on, you made the defender look really bad. I mean, he was basically just stuck in his skates. He couldn't keep up with you.
Be honest, when you do that, do you show your wife, you go home and show your wife the replay and say, hey, look at this one. Look at your boy right here.
No. I mean, she saw it. She saw the game. But it was just great timing in the sense of, I think Hack's coming in the zone, and then when you do these turn ups, you kind of freeze the defense, and then if you're coming in late, the second wave, like I did, then you freeze the defense, and you're coming in with full speed, and they're standing still, and then now you got a huge advantage. Because there's the gap between me and Hags, and he's making everybody freeze, and I'm coming in with speed, so that made it a little bit easier. But I think it happened quick, and I just went instinctively and try to go around him. And once I got in, beat the guy, then I was so close to the goalie, I just thought I was gonna try to put it up high at either side, and short side was. Shortside was open, so that's where I tried to put it.
So who was the defenseman that you passed?
I don't know. It probably one of the guys that weren't NHL regulars, I would guess, but I'm not sure.
So you didn't talk smack to him after you scored?
No, you keep it classy.
So Lars, when there's a trade like there was yesterday,
so
what do you do with your former teammates? Do you text them? Do you call them? What's the protocol? Did you reach out to Verana? Did you reach out to your former teammates?
Yeah, I think most guys do. You reach out to them. Or you always reach out to someone's coming in or someone's leaving. So you always do that. Texting, send some texts with those guys, and you send them a message because I've been traded before, and when that happens, they're probably getting hundreds of those, so you're not gonna sit down and talk to every single guy and make an emotional phone call or at least right that day. So I'm sure it's a weird feeling seeing guys come and go, but especially a guy like V, who's been here for, as long, he's been longer than I've been with the Cavs, right? But he's been here. I played over 4 years with him, and we went through something very special together, winning a cup. So, it feels weird to see when that happens, a teammate that you've been through so much with and known for a long time. But then on the other hand, I've seen it many times, and it's gonna keep happening. It's just the business of hockey.
Did Jacob vocalize his frustration with his role, the way it had diminished over the last few months with Coach Laviolette, or did he just kind of keep that internal? Did he make it known, like, throughout the team that, look, I'm upset at my ice time, I'm getting scratched by the coach? Did he complain about it? Did he keep it inward? How did he deal with it?
No, V doesn't do that. I don't think any players really is something that they vocalize within the team. Everybody and V included handles that very professionally. And if guys are unhappy with something, it's usually not something you go to the teammates with. Maybe they talk, usually the best thing is to talk directly to the coach, and have a dialogue about, you know, the frustrations and the expectations or what to do to get out of that situation. So I don't know if he had that or not, but it is what it is. But then, you know, he has been a pro. He showed up to every practice and every game, and he's given a lot to this organization. And was part of something very special. And we're gonna miss him. I'm gonna miss him mostly as a person. But I love playing online with him. The times I did. But then again, you know, we're gonna get another player coming in that's, you know, equally talented and it's going to bring something else to our team. So on the other hand, that's what we have to be excited about, and looking forward to playing with Manta.
We're joined by Lars Eller from the Washington Capitals. Give us the scout on Manta. I'll be honest. I mean, he's been in Detroit for basically the bulk of his career. I don't watch a lot of Detroit Red Wings games unless they're playing the Washington Capitals. What should Caps fans expect from Manta? He's a big dude, too, 6'4", 235.
Yeah, I think he's kind of guy who's probably been under the radar in terms of his ability because he's just played on a team that hasn't had any playoff, hasn't really been in the playoffs, hasn't. It's not a team probably people really like to pay attention to because of where they mostly find themselves in the standings. Extremely talented player that can score goals, big body, that has a lot of skill, and a nose for the net. So. It'd be exciting to have him join our team. I think he has the potential to be a huge addition for us.
Is Connor Sherry a little bit upset that they're bringing in a guy who's like 6'4", and he's still like the shortest dude on the team? Like, Verana was like close to Sherry's size. Like, that could be a dude he could hang out with and not look so short. You bring in a big giant like Mantha, he looks even shorter by comparison.
I think if you ask him, he's probably been used to hearing that all his career, being one of not one of the tallest guys. So I don't think that's new to him. But you know, I think it's good to we have a mix of a lot of things. We got some big physical guys, we got skilled guys, and we got guys like Connor who has a ton of speed and goal scoring ability, and you know, everybody brings something different, and that's what we're going to need if we're going to be successful in the playoffs.
All right, Lars, we love talking to you as we do every week. Best of luck this week. 2 home games, and then you guys are back out on the road. We'll talk to you again soon.
Get a couple dubs.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
I mean, Washington's got to have one of the biggest teams in the league, don't they? Especially now after trading for Manta.
That's what I was talking about. Those first two lines are huge.
Yeah, big right? boys.
But Spronger's
Oshie's
not big,
like
right?
The smallest guy.
Isn't Sprong pretty small?
Not like he's small.
I'd have to look at Sprong's measurables. He's probably like 5'11", 6 feet tall, I would guess.
No, but they got Willie and Mantha and Chara.
And Ovi.
Ovi. They got some big boys.
Yep. If listeners want to chime in on the Caps' moves at the deadline, they can do that next on the Gambit DC listener lines, 800-636-1067. And are you upset that Jacob Verana is no longer a member of the Washington Capitals? He's dealt from Washington to Detroit. We'll take calls from Caps fans next here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.